Amen. I'm glad I can sing then and can sing now about the wondrous story. Amen. If you want to be turning in your Bible to Luke chapter number 10, Luke chapter number 10, and then John chapter 11, reading some of the same text that we read last week, bringing another message from that thought that we looked at last week, try to expound and expand on that thought. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. I'm going to read the last verses of Luke chapter 10. And then also John chapter 11. And we'll read some verses and then go to John chapter 12. And hope the Lord will add blessing to the reading of His Word. The Bible says in verse number 38 of Luke chapter number 10. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she shall help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Amen. Turn now to John chapter 11, if you will, verse number 32. John chapter 11 and verse number 32. And we'll read down a few verses. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have ye laid him?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, 'Behold how he loved him.'" Jump over to chapter 12 now, verses 1 through 3. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been sick, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you one more time, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in God's house today to meet with you.
Yes, Lord. What a blessing.
Be able to set at the feet of Christ and hear the word of God expounded.
Help us, Lord.
I pray you help us, Lord, and receive it with all readiness in mind. May your precious name be magnified. May the gospel, Lord, have a definite impact upon our lives and upon those that may be lost and without God as well. We ask you to help the sick and those who are away from us today. Doing well. We ask you to bless the pastor.
Yes, Lord. Help
us. Filling my presence with spirit of God with wisdom, power, and unction. Yes. Convert souls and Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. As I read these scriptures, we read these same scriptures last week, and I commented on the fact, and I'll use do that as an introduction again today. These are three different accounts of different instances in the life of our Lord and the life of Mary. This is Mary of Bethany, in which we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. There's other accounts as well, and I thought about using some of those, but these three are what I felt like we'd deal with in these days. But these three accounts of Mary associated with our Lord, and in each of these accounts you find her at His feet. Now there's differences involved in these, and I mentioned to you that in Luke chapter number 10, we find Mary as a student. In the place of education, she's sitting and listening that she might learn what the Lord's got to say to her. And I preached on that this past Sunday. Then in John chapter number 11, the text that we'll be using today, we find her sobbing. She's not sitting. She has fallen at the feet of Jesus. You know, when you sit down, it's a planned activity. When you fall, many times it's an unplanned activity. She has fallen at His feet, sobbing in the place of consolation. She's needing some help for her broken heart. Then in John chapter 12, we find her there bowing as a saint in the place of adoration, and she gives glory and honor unto the Lord. Amen. And we'll see that. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next Sunday, if the Lord allow us to go with that and stay with that schedule. But I want to deal with this fact this morning on this second time we find her here in John 11. We find her weeping at the feet of Jesus. I said to you that we saw her in these three places. She's waiting. She's waiting to hear Him speak there in Luke chapter 10. Here she is weeping to have His sympathy. She's needing His touch. She's needing His help at this time. And we'll go to the third one later. Not get there today. But weeping at His feet, or I should say weeping at the feet of Jesus to have His sympathy. Brother Bell expounded on a little bit about how, what I said last week about how that women long to be loved. They long to be cuddled or held close. Our Lord did that. Mary was doing that at His feet. She was holding close to the Lord, and our Lord allowed that. But there's something else that goes along with that that'll get us even to deeper trouble here. But there's something else here about Mary. Mary's got a broken heart, and there's nobody that can speak peace to her heart like this man. You've probably been there before. Maybe you've been there more than one time. And if you've not, I pray that you will be soon, because it's a blessed thing to find that the Lord does have the very words we need. Amen. And He's the only one that has the words that we need. But I want to point out some things here about this woman as she's weeping at the feet of Jesus to have His sympathy. Now, my thought, the reason that I felt like the Lord led me to go ahead and deal with this, I have dealt with this in the past in other places, other messages, and I had these notes, some of it together, been expanding on it and working on it. But I felt like right here at the first of the year that it'd be good for us just to resolve the fact that I'm going to sit and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to wait and hear what He's got to say. But also, we ought to determine that when troubles come, we're going to allow those troubles to cast us at His feet, that we might have His sympathy and we might get the help that we need from the Lord. Amen. Now, there's three things I want to point out about this. I'll deal primarily with the first one and then throw the next two in and conclude with that. But first of all, I want to talk about our troubles call us to the feet of Jesus. Amen. Our troubles have a way of calling us to the feet of Jesus. By the way, that's one of the reasons why He's so good when He allows trouble to come. Sometimes we have the mindset that when everything's going good, the sun's shining, the clouds are gone, the birds are singing, and we're in good health and things are going good, boy, God's being good to me and you. But can I tell you that when the sun is overshadowed by the clouds and when the rain's falling and the floods are rising, God is still good and He's still on the throne. God is always good. Amen. He can be nothing but good. Amen. Truly, God is good to Israel. Amen. That's what the psalmist said. He's good. He's good all the time. We sang that little chorus this morning. God is so good. Amen. He's so good to me. But troubles come. Troubles came in the life of this lady. Look at verse number 28. I want you to notice verse 28 of John 11. And when she had so said, this is talking about Martha now. Let me back up so we get the context there. Look at verse number 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest
thou this. The next verse, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, now she's made her statement of faith. She's gotten something to stand on here, and she calls for Mary, her sister, and called for Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Amen. I want you to underline that phrase, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You can search your Bible from one end to the other, and you will not find where Jesus ever uttered the words that Mary needed to come to Him. We can't find it recorded that Jesus ever audibly said that Mary needed to come to Him. But the fact that He had come and trouble had come was the call of God to that soul, to that seeker, that it was to come to Him. Amen. Can I tell you, when troubles come, it ought to draw us to His side. Amen. Amen. Some people seem to have the tendency to let trouble drive them from God rather than draw them to God. I never have understood that. Amen. It ought to draw us to God. When troubles come, it ought to be a clarion call. Matter of fact, James said this in James 5:13, the first part of that verse. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. In other words, if troubles come, go to God. Amen. When troubles come, go to God. Psalm 55. Turn there and look with me. I know you know it, but I'll just let you see it with your own eyes. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. The psalmist is telling us some good instruction about what to do with our troubles. And he uses the word burden. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. I'll read that again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I looked up that word cast. I thought I understood it, but I looked it up. It's Strong's number 7993. It's a Hebrew word. Here's what it means. It means to throw out. It means to throw down. Amen. It means to throw away. That's what that word means. Cast your troubles on the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Here's what we do a lot of times. Jonathan, can I use you as an illustration again? I've used you before. I think I've used you as the devil. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to use you as the Lord today. All right? All right, here's the Lord, and here's our troubles. This is not really a burden. This is pretty light. But sometimes we get burdened. I mean, heavy burdens. Here's how we take it to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I want you to help me with it. Lord, I want you to help me with it. He's not just interested in helping us with it. He's interested in taking it away from us. Amen. He's interested in us taking our troubles and not just come to Him and hand them to Him, but pitch them to Him. Oh, me. I should have trained you. I'll catch it when I do it. All right. He's interested in us pitching it to Him, and He'll handle it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Amen. All right. So the psalmist is there saying, when you got troubles, you got burdens, don't hang on to them. Sometimes we're guilty of saying, oh, I just got to get my arms around. No, you don't need your arms around it. You need to hand it to Him. Let His arms be around it. Amen. Give your troubles to Him. He can handle it. Peter replies to that and responds to that as well. You don't have to turn because I know you know the verses. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Peter says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That word casting is a continually giving it to Him. Amen. Amen. Continually giving your troubles to Him. I'm saying, when troubles come, and they do come to every one of us, when troubles come, it ought not be a catastrophe that drives us away from God, but it ought to be a call that calls us to His side. Amen. Turn to Psalm 121. I should have held my place there in Psalm 55. Psalm 121 is a great psalm, as they all are. But it's one of the songs of degrees that they would sing as they mounted the steps to the temple, as they mounted the steps to the altar. And they would take a step and sing a verse, take a step and sing a verse and continue on. But it was an escalating song as well, that it had a crescendo. It was headed towards a climax, a point of the peak. And he starts out in verse number 1, Psalm 121, verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He's not just talking about the physical hills. He's talking about the hills of God. He's talking about my help coming from the Lord. From up high, my help's going to come down. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. You just see that climb as the psalmist is talking about these good things of God. He said, I'm going to give him my trouble. I can expect him to help me. I'm going to give him my burden. I can expect him to carry it. I can expect him not only to do it now, but to do it right on forevermore. Amen. And I read somewhere where they said this one man said that he's having trouble going to sleep. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. But because so many things in his mind, so many troubles, he's having a hard time getting his eyes together to go to sleep. And he's read that verse of Scripture where the Lord says, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 3, the end of that, He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And said the man just closed his Bible, turned off the light and said, Lord, if you're staying up, I believe I'll go to sleep. Amen. Now that's a little funny, but it's true. We can trust Him. Amen. If you're, and it may be that a lot of different situations this could happen in, but let's say, for example, if you happen to be in the military and you're in enemy territory, you know what they'll do? They'll set up a guard. They'll have a guard. They'll have shifts and all that. But when that guard is on duty, you know what your job is? Don't worry about the guard. Not worry about the enemy. Get you some rest. Amen. Can I tell you that we've got a God in heaven that is on guard? I know we're in enemy territory. I know the devil's doing his best to try to ridicule the church and wreck the church and destroy our own life and our own testimony if he can, but I'm glad I've got a guard on duty. Amen. Our job, get some rest. Amen. Trust him with our troubles. Amen. God may allow trouble to find us. Amen. But remember, God's not asleep. God's not forgotten about you. God is very much alert and aware as to what's going on and what He's wanting to do. When trouble finds you, it ought to find you at the feet of Jesus, casting your care upon Him. Amen. If you fall, make sure you fall towards Calvary. Amen. Make sure you fall towards the cross. Make sure you fall towards the feet of Jesus, because there's where your help is. Amen. Amen. Our Lord said this very familiar in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes God lets these cares come upon us to make us weary, to make us heavy laden, so we'll hear His voice saying, come unto me. Amen. So that then we can come and cast our cares upon Him. Our Lord's seeking, but it's interesting that when troubles come, it causes us to seek Him. Amen. So her troubles, and I'll say our troubles, call us to the feet of Jesus. Number two, His tenderness calms us at the feet of Jesus. We're still in John chapter 11. Look at verse number 32. His tenderness calms us at His feet. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, I could complain about her statement to the Lord there. She's saying, Lord, it's Your fault. You're just too late, Lord. If You'd have come when we called, if You'd have come when we first called, there'd have been hope. Have You ever been there? There's been times that we've said, Lord, I need You now. And if You don't come now, there ain't no use You coming. And He don't come now. Mary was there. But our Lord didn't complain. As a matter of fact, she said exactly what her sister said. You know why? Because that's what we all say. We all wind up getting there saying, Lord, it's too late now. You've waited too long and troubles are worse than they were before and now it's bad. And Lord, it's too hard. Why wasn't You here before? But our Lord never complained about her complaint. You know what He did? She wept there. She said, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, He, what's this next word? Groaned in His spirit, or in the spirit, and was troubled. He felt what she felt. He didn't complain about her complaint. He didn't rebuke her for being too emotional. He didn't rebuke her for being so weak. Oh, me. Amen. He loved her right where she was. He reached out to her. And matter of fact, He wept with her. He groaned in His spirit, verse 33, that last phrase, and was troubled and said, where have You laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. But thank God for the power in that verse. Jesus wept with her. Amen. Verse number 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. Now, our Lord's not afraid of death. Our Lord doesn't see this as the end. Our Lord knew the end from the beginning. Our Lord knew exactly what He was going to do, how it was going to turn out, and all that goes along with it. And yet, He groaned when they're groaning. You know why? Because we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God, since He suffered, He can succor those that are going through suffering. Amen. Amen. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And so our troubles ought to cause us to run to the Lord Jesus and find ourselves at His feet. But when we get there, His tenderness, thank God for His tenderness. Amen. Will give us the comfort we need when we come to His feet. Amen. I mentioned Matthew 11:28, that whole phrase, 28 through 30. Jesus, it's as if He's pleading for people with problems to bring their problems to Him.
Right.
Amen. He's saying to anybody that's hurting, anybody that is overwrought, anybody that is overcome, He says, come to Me, and He offers them rest. He offers them peace. He offers them comfort. And He offers them help. Amen. I'm glad I've got a Savior that it doesn't matter the sin problem with the sinner. I've got a Savior that can meet every need, thank God. And that can wash every sin away by His power. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing too hard for our God. I know people are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But I'm glad Jesus is good and good and good. And He'll meet every need. It doesn't matter. Amen. He's got the means. Amen. I'll say this is available today. If you've got troubles, let it drive you to the Lord, not away from the Lord. Let it draw you to His side. There you can find help in a time of need. Amen. Our Lord's got what you need. Come to Jesus. Cast yourself upon Him. Cast your troubles upon Him. And He's ready to help when you come to Him. Amen. The third thing I want to say, and I'll be done. Not only Our troubles call us to the feet of Jesus. His tenderness calms us at the feet of Jesus. But I've touched it already. He is touched with the cares when we come to the feet of Jesus. Again, I remind you that Mary came weeping to the feet of Jesus. Verse 35 and 36, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Amen. They saw the compassion of the Savior through those tears. Amen. Amen. Jesus was not just weeping for Lazarus. He was weeping for Mary. He was weeping for Martha. I believe that. Amen. But I say this again. When Mary came to the Lord and she's weeping, he does not rebuke her for her tears. He does not rebuke her for her little faith. He does not rebuke her for being overly emotional or for being so weak. Amen. He's just there as a pillar of strength. He's just there as an anchor of hope. Amen. He's just there to meet the need when we come to him with our need. Amen. Now say, Jesus drank the cup of suffering for us. He knows what we're going through. And he cares about our soul. Amen. I got a couple illustrations and I'll be done. You think about John chapter 20. You remember the story of Thomas? Thomas was the disciple. We call him Doubting Thomas. He carried that name, I guess, the rest of his life. Past his life. I'm 2,000 years later. They're still calling him Doubting Thomas. But you know what Thomas's main problem, besides that he failed to believe that the Lord was alive? One of the reasons he didn't believe that the Lord was alive, because he missed church that Sunday night. Really? I mean, you look at the text, it's on the first day of the week, and our Lord's risen, and it's that night they're meeting in that upper room, and Thomas was not there. And they said, and the Lord showed up, and he blessed them, and you know the whole story, breathed on them, and all that that goes along. But they told Thomas about it, and Thomas said, this is what Thomas said. Thomas said, not only I don't believe it, I'm not going to believe it. I am not going to believe it until I can put my finger in the palm of his hand, that I can thrust my hand in his side. He said, I've got to see something. There's got to be more than just what you're telling me. I got to experience it. So the next Sunday, maybe just out of curiosity, Thomas is there. And behold, if the Lord don't show up again. Now here's what I want you to notice. Our Lord didn't say, Thomas, where were you at last Sunday night? He could have. Amen. Our Lord didn't say, Thomas, why did you doubt? Why did you not believe your brethren? Why did you not? By the way, he's not just not believing his brethren. He's not believing what our Lord told them. He had told all the disciples that he's going to rise again on the third day. But Thomas had rejected that. He'd forgotten all that because of his fears. Because of his doubts. But our Lord didn't overly rebuke Thomas. Now here's exactly what our Lord did. Our Lord said, here's my hand, Thomas. Put your finger in the nail prints. He said, Thomas, reach hither your hand and thrust it in my side. He offered him every consolation he could have. Amen. Amen. I say again something I heard my dad say years ago that stuck with me. My dad said, I'm not sure that it's always wrong to question the Lord as long as you're willing to accept His answers. Amen. Our Lord offered Thomas everything He had required. You read the text, Thomas didn't have to put his finger in his hand. He didn't have to thrust his hand in his side. Just seeing the Lord, he said, my Lord and my God. Amen. Amen. Something interesting about that phrase, I'll just throw this in as a sideline. I read a statement yesterday. I started studying a little bit in the book of Jude, just doing some introductory study in the book of Jude. And they were talking about who this Jude was. Judah. And they were talking about it's not Iscariot. And it made the statement, Jude, there were two prophets, two disciples by the name of Judas. One of them is called Thaddeus or Labius all the other times. And then Judas Iscariot. But there's one statement in there where Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord. And he goes on. And here's what I believe it's Thomas Manton said, that the scriptures are plain to make us know that Judas Iscariot never one time acknowledged Jesus as Lord. So I just did a search. I went from Matthew through the book of Acts. Every time the statement's made about Lord, and it's to our Lord, as Lord, we find Peter calling Him Lord, John calling Him Lord, James calling Him Lord, Mary and Martha calling Him Lord, others calling Him Lord. There's times the disciples as a group call Him Lord. You know how many times Judas called Him Lord? Not one time. Not one time. Amen. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, that's showing us right here that Lordship's important. Amen. Amen. Lordship is very important, and it does show something there about if a man doesn't recognize Christ as Lord, very good chance he's never been saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. Now, where that came in this, but I'll find out in a minute. I'll remember where. Oh, Thomas. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, you're believing because you've seen. But he said, people are more blessed. More blessed are they that believe having not seen, amen, than those that have seen. But here's my point. Our Lord did not beat Thomas down when Thomas was down. He comforted him. He helped him with his troubles, amen. There's one more illustration. There's a man by the name of Peter that messed up too. You remember that? Our Lord said, I'm going to go to the cross. Peter said, oh no, you ain't Lord. We'll go, but you ain't going. Oh, he said, you're going to deny me. Peter said, no, I ain't denying you, Lord. I'll go to the grave, but I won't deny you. Our Lord said, oh, yes, you will. And he did. Before the cock crew twice, Peter denied him thrice, three times. Peter denied him. He denied him, and he even cursed and denied that he even knew who he was. And then after the resurrection, Peter goes so far to say, I'm going fishing. It's along the song that they're singing. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he influenced the other disciples to say, we're going with you. Now, here's what I believe. I don't believe that's just a fishing excursion. I believe Peter's laying down his fishing for men cloak. And he's going back to fishing for a living. He's so discouraged. I guess that's the right word. He's so discouraged. He's so despondent that he's given up on Christ. He's given up on this whole thing. And lo and behold, if the Lord don't show up on the seashore. Amen. Instead of having a baseball bat or a handful of switches, he's got fish on the fire. Amen. And he invites them to come. And when they come, of course, Peter recognizes the Lord. He jumped out of that boat, and you can take it. Some people believe he's trying to get to the Lord quicker. I don't. I think Peter knew he's in trouble. He was fearing to face the Lord. But our Lord spoke to Peter. He did speak to him with some reproving words. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Reproving words. But reaffirming words. Reassuring words. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, you got troubles. You may be so far that you wonder if you hadn't just thrown it all away. If you've gone so far that you think, I don't know if I can even believe anything anymore or not. If you can get to the feet of Jesus, don't let those troubles drive you away. Let them draw you to His feet. And if you can cast yourself at His feet, you'll hear words that will comfort you and that will help you. Amen. Amen. I ask you, where are you today? Are you running from the Lord? Or are you running to Him? Here's what the songwriter said. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you free. For He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. Another song said it this way, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I wonder this morning if the Lord spoke to you. if the Word of God has found you in trouble. The Word of God has found you in doubt. Maybe even despair. Despondent. Would you let those troubles draw you to Jesus? Would you cast yourself at His feet? He's got the Word that'll help you. He's got the very Word that'll help you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the Word of God. I want to thank You for the tenderness of our Savior. Even those unbelieving Jews, hard-hearted, unbelieving Jews, when they saw the tenderness of our Savior, recognized what love. What love. Father, I pray that somebody this morning had their heart tendered that perhaps had become hardened. But to find it tendered by seeing a Savior that's weeping for them and saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Father, I pray You draw some sinner this morning. I pray You draw the saint. Not to continue to wander away, but let the sheep hear the shepherd call, that he might come back up close to the shepherd and find that peace. Have Your way, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come, obey the Lord. Just do exactly what He said, and it'll be right if you'll obey Him. While we sing, would you come?